Well, it's time for our business segment now with Charles Pellegrin. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Karis.
You're starting with Donald Trump's assertion that Venezuela will be sending 30 to 50 million barrels of oil to the United States.
The U.S. president made the announcement on his Truth Social account late on Tuesday, saying the interim authorities in the countries would be turning that amount worth about $2.8 billion to the U.S. and would then be sold at market price with proceeds controlled by him and, quote, used to benefit the people of Venezuela and the United States. He added the oil would be taken to storage ships and unloaded on docks in the U.S. There were a few other details about this transaction, but this underlines the U.S.'s new economic influence over Caracas since the operation which captured and exfiltrated Nicolas Maduro over the weekend. And it also marks a setback for China, which was the main buyer of Venezuela's oil before a U.S. blockade was imposed last month. China's foreign ministry this Wednesday reacted by saying the U.S. has brazenly used force, demanding priority on oil sources, calling it, quote, typical bullying.
All right, so how much does 30 to 50 million barrels represent exactly?
Well, it's about 30 to 50 days of Venezuela's total production, at least before the U.S.'s partial blockade started last month, which in itself is a lot, but also in a wider context, not much at all. Although it is the country that sits atop the biggest proven oil reserves of the world at over 300 billion barrels, Venezuela now only represents about 1% of global supply after decades of underinvestment and mismanagement of its oil infrastructure and industry. Still, the announcement did have an impact on oil prices, with the expectation of an increase in supply leading to a drop in both the West Texas Intermediate benchmark and the Brent crude benchmark as well. Still, most analysts believe it would be an expensive and complicated process to completely revive Venezuela's oil industry, even with the backing of U.S. oil majors, as per Donald Trump's plans.
Back in the early 2000s, Venezuela was a country that was producing north of 3 million barrels. Today, we're at a little under a million barrels, right? It's going to require, and the numbers are still kind of being analyzed, but between $100 and $150 billion worth of investment to get production up to the 3 to 4 million barrels. And that's still going to take over a decade of investment. And companies are not likely to invest until they have better understanding of the clarity of what the frameworks are going to be and political stability.
So why is the U.S. so interested in Venezuela's oil?
The size of the country's reserves would definitely be a strategic asset for the United States in terms of energy security. And the U.S.'s Gulf Coast refineries are actually built to process Venezuela's very particular heavy sour crude, meaning it's the type of oil that's very viscous and high in sulfur. These plants run by companies like Valero and Phillips 66, which saw their stock value surge after Maduro's capture. Well, under Maduro's leadership, U.S. imports of Venezuelan oil had dwindled from over a million barrels a day in the mid 2000s to over 600,000 barrels in 2017 to nothing at all between 2020 and 2022 because of the trade restrictions. Starting in 2023, though, a U.S. oil major Chevron obtained a special license to continue operating in the country, thereby shipping over 200,000 barrels a day in 2024. So the goal for the Trump administration now is to see those numbers go up as Venezuela's new leader, Delcy Rodriguez, is forced to favor Washington as a partner, while exports to China are considerably reduced.
All right, Charles. China, meanwhile, is ramping up the pressure on Japan.
Prime Minister Sanae Takeuchi's comments a few months ago on a Chinese attack on Taiwan constituting an existential threat for Japan are really not sitting well with Beijing. China has now banned the export of dual-use items to Japan. Caroline Baum explains what these are and why they're so important to Tokyo.
China is upping the pressure on Japan, cutting off key exports to the island nation as tensions rise between the countries over Taiwan.
All exports of dual-use items for Japanese military purposes or for any other purposes that contribute to enhancing Japan's military capacities are prohibited.
These so-called dual-use items are goods, software, and technology that can have both civilian and military applications. A catalog of dual-use items published by China's Commerce Ministry includes rare earths, advanced electronics, drones, and aviation components. Japanese officials were quick to condemn the action.
This latest measure, which targets only our country, deviates significantly from international norms, is absolutely unacceptable and deeply regrettable.
This standoff between China and Japan began in November, when Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi spoke out against a potential Chinese invasion of Taiwan.
If China were to deploy battleships and involve the use of force, I believe this could be deemed a situation threatening Japan's survival.
The comment provoked the anger of Chinese authorities, who view Taiwan as a part of China, leading to official warnings for Chinese citizens against visiting Japan and the suspension of seafood imports from the country. This latest escalation is not the first time that Beijing has leveraged its rare earths dominance against Tokyo. Shipments to Japan were also tightened in 2010, after the arrest of a Chinese boat captain near disputed islands in the East China Sea. Despite efforts to diversify its supply, around 60% of Japan's rare earth imports still come from China.
And one latest development on that story, Beijing's Commerce Ministry also announcing this Wednesday it was launching an anti-dumping probe into imports of dichlorosilane from Japan, which is a chemical compound used mainly in the very strategically important semiconductor industry.
All right, Charles Pellegrin, thank you very much for that business update.